chest, speaking with your mouth. Five ring kings is what we're talking about. From Mars to the V-Block, everybody shout. L-A-L-A, big city of dreams. But everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled by those other guys in town, but we're down by law. We know our way around too much.
L.A.'s in house, welcome to this episode 331. I'm here with David and Lewis.
Hey!
What's up, everybody?
And we're back, you guys. Another game last week, ending in a draw in Seattle. Down four of our starters in that game. Kind of a dull game in general. I don't know. I didn't come out mad. I didn't come out happy. I just came out, okay, cool, that's fine. Like, that was fine performance for what we were doing, what we had. Still want the team to be better. But, yeah, how are you guys feeling?
I agree with you, Bobby. And that's the end of the episode. Bye.
I was thinking that earlier on. I was like, there's not too much to say about this one.
Nothing to argue about.
Literally what he said. Yep. Like, yep. I wasn't angry. I wasn't happy. You got a point. I'm cool. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Move on. Yeah. Good night.
Yeah.
That's it.
The only thing that I can add to this conversation is, what the hell is Greg Vanney wearing?
Well, sure. We'll get to that. I think it'll be longer than us talking about the actual game. So let's get the game out of the way.
As I said, good night, everybody. Please turn it into fashion hour.
As I'm waiting for the game to start, right? I was like flipping through stuff on TV, and I came across, what was it? I was looking through Hulu or something, and I saw, oh, House of Gucci is up here. That's interesting that it's up here. And then I remembered, I was like, oh, you know, my son Donovan never got to see Jared Leto's like Super Mario, like, ah, it's a me, Paolo. His, you know, that whole performance from Jared Leto. So I showed him a scene from the movie, and it's a movie where he's like, showing his designs to his uncle. And as he's showing him his designs, he's like, you put pastels with brown? You have pastels and browns together in the same designs? He's like, do me a favor. Never show anyone these designs. And, you know, Jared Leto was doing his thing. What, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, that's beyond whatever. So the game starts, right? And then I see Greg Vanney wearing his little scarf that is very much reminiscent of the signature Gucci scarf. It's not the same design anywhere near. It's just the same like kind of material, like the same size material, whatever. And I'm like, does he have a shirt on? And then I was like, oh, wait. I think Bobby pointed out that it was a similar color to his skin tone or the way the lighting was.
It's a little darker, but it was very easy to think that was his skin.
On quick glance. Yeah, and then I'm looking at the scarf.
Even a few long glances. I was waiting to see some chest hair.
Right? And then I'm looking at the... Oh, come on. You know Greg Vanney shaves his chest. Come on.
No way.
Yeah, but not that look. I'm just saying, not the look that he was pulling off that game. He needed chest hair for that look.
And then I think so. Yeah, and a beret for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the scarf and I'm like, he put pastels with brown? Like, what's going on right now?
It really was.
Pastel blue or anything. I know. But it's close. I just thought it was a funny coincidence that I had just seen that scene in House of Gucci and then I get that from Greg Vanney. But again, I maintain, I don't know who dressed him. Maybe Miguel Berry dressed him because it had all the flavor of a Miguel Berry.
I audibly said, the fuck? when I saw him, I was like, the fuck? What's happening? Right?
And you guys watched the game later than I did. So I watched the game live. You guys didn't. And I was like, please let me know once you watch the game because I have a comment.
Was that why?
Yes. No. I knew it. Okay. So
I didn't realize that was why.
No, I knew instantly. I knew instantly what he was talking about because. So as David said, I did not watch it live.
And once I started watching it, it was on my phone. I'm like, I'm just going to get a jump here. I have a little something to do after work, so I don't want to be like too preoccupied with the game. So I'm just start watching it right now. So I'm watching it at work on my phone, and smaller screen. I'm not listening to any of the pregame. I went straight to the game. And you know, when I do get the first clip of Vanny, instantly I was like, what did I just see? Wait, did I see what I just saw? Like, I didn't know. There's no way I would have seen that. And then, you know, I had to go back, and I'm like, there's no way he's not wearing a shirt. Like, it's probably...
I mean, it was fucking freezing and raining, too.
Yes, like, exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Because you remember the signature Siggy, like, big pulpy scarf. Yeah, on the summer day that was the very first El Tráfico, he still had the big puffy scarf on him, you know, but you know, his signature Seattle look was the scarf. And so I don't know if that was an homage to Siggy. Again, you didn't do it right, buddy.
Yeah, you didn't do it right. But it was just, it was super weird.
I don't think any
because...
of that was that specific. I think he just woke up, looked in the mirror, and said, I look good today.
Again, I feel like Miguel Berry trusted him because that would, I mean, you know, that kind of trust that he seems to have in him seems to be what happened there.
No, I saw it. Obviously, obviously this is against dress code. There's no way that he's going out there without, you know, with no shirt. Right. I mean, there's got to be a dress code in the league. Like, you have to. I know
if he didn't have a shirt. If he
didn't have a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to go back and look up other like coaches. Like, I feel like there's been some other coaches that have worn like either a low cut shirt, like a DP,
shirt.
I guess.
But it's a shirt.
He had his coat on, which was weird choice.
Which was a puffy jacket, but somehow seemed tight on him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I thought it was a blazer. I thought it was a blazer that was too tight. It looked like, you know, like it looked like fat guy in a little coat, right? That's what it looked like. Like a blazer, but he's like fat guy.
I guess. But it looked like a fashionable, like it's going to be extra tight on me because it's, you know,
yeah,
it's cool like that. But yeah, I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm like, whoa, okay. What's he
you know what would do it, boss? You know what would do it, boss? A scarf. Yeah. That brings it all together.
He just needed that beret, dude. I'm telling you, he just needed that
beret. Oh man. Maybe that's the thing that was out of the dress code and he had to take it off.
Maybe. It could be.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But I mean,
what an odd choice.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But you know,
to stay warm.
Obviously, yeah.
That scarf wasn't doing it. That was a handkerchief scarf.
I know. That's a handkerchief for looks, or a scarf for looks. It's not
It's not Siggy. Right. It's not what the purpose of Siggy wearing the scarf. But yeah, I mean, obviously I did the double take. I had to conclude that, like, I know it looks like this, but there's no way he doesn't have a shirt on. And the game goes on, and about a good portion into the second half, maybe about 15 minutes into the second half, that's when I was like, David's talking about Vanny. He's not thinking about, there's nothing going on in the game. This game is boring. This game is dull. And by the time that when David makes his, because he sends us a text, like, you got, let me know when you watch the game, because we need to talk about something. Something about an observation. I just want to know something. Something like that. Verified. And then I'm like, this is not about the game. And this is this is around the time that David texts, like well before David texts, there is literally nothing in there aside from he's talking about Craig Vanney. And so once again, I'm staying off of social media. I'm not posting. I'm not looking at anything because I don't want anything spoiled. Not that anything would have been spoiled. But I come back after the game, and the entire timeline has nothing to do with the game. It has to do with Vanny. So I'm like, yeah, it's definitely Vanny. He was definitely talking about Vanny. You know, I'm the only one. It's like, okay. So, yeah, that was actually kind of funny. I mean, I'm kind of surprised Bobby didn't pick it up because I picked up like, yeah, this is he's talking about Vanny at this point. But
yeah, well, I mean, I didn't even look at my phone or anything while I watched the game. I kind of forgot all about it. And then I saw the text later, extra text that David put up.
Yeah. So, okay, I mean,
Look, the game.
Let's talk about the game.
It was boring, like you said. It was a whole lot of nothing. We were sorely missing Ricky Pooj. We were sorely missing Narc Delgado. That was a surprise for me.
I was convinced.
I'm like, he's not going to put Barry in after that last game that we had. He was absolutely awful. I think he had like 3 touches in the entire thing, in the entire game. Lewis, I think you had that stat last week. And I'm like, there's no way he starts Barry. I see the starting lineup. Miguel Barry is there. I'm like, dude, what the hell? Why do you not put Paintill up and start Fagundes? It doesn't make sense to put Barry in, especially without Ricky Pooj. And then I was like, Delgado's not in here. So then I go, well, what the hell is happening with Delgado? Turns out he was in health and safety protocol. And so he was not available for this game. I don't know what it was, if it was like,
okay,
could
so
have been COVID, could have been something else. I have no idea.
So, okay, that was going to be my question. So I either thought concussion in practice, right? So, okay, he's got to have like a certain time, you know, get examined. Maybe he suffered it, but we would have heard that. We wouldn't have heard that it was a concussion, that he took a knock in practice. It was given health and safety protocols. And I'm like, isn't this what they did for COVID, if I recall correctly? So maybe it isn't a concussion. Maybe it is COVID. Don't know yet. I don't think they actually came out. They just said that he's in that. So they won't disclose it.
They won't say whether it is or not.
Okay, so I'm thinking either concussion or COVID, and either way, I thought the same thing. I think if Delgado was in the lineup, I don't think you would have seen Miguel Barry in the starting 11. But I think because of you were down 2 midfielders, you had no choice. I take that back. There's always a choice. I just think that maybe this was, you know, the lesser of 2 evils.
The scarf. Maybe it was a scarf.
Maybe. So there's a couple things that I want to say about the game. Number one, obviously, I knew that the offense would suffer a little bit with no Pooj. The fact that Delgado's missing, you now have your 2 guys that have the most line bait breaking passes or among the top players. And I know Ricky Pooj is number 1
in the league. Yeah.
I know Pooj is number 1 in the league. I'm not sure. Delgado was number 2. I don't know if he's still there. I haven't seen anything since, but I know he's still got to be at the top with line breaking passes. You have your 2 guys now gone. Who makes those line breaking passes? Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
I honestly thought, I don't remember if I said it last week or not.
But I actually said that, like, without Pooj there, this might give Peck and Paintsill, like, the license to just, like, really run at people and just play at the speed that they want to play at versus, like, sometimes Pooj is playing a little bit more methodical and getting a lot of, like, extra passes in, which opens up the space for them in those moments. But, like, I
thought it was going
to be, like, a balls-to-the-wall kind of Peck and Paintsill performance. Again, had Barry not been on the field.
I mean, here's the thing. I think offensively, let me start off with 2 points I will make about the offense. Aside from I knew that it was going to suffer a little bit. This was a chance for the DPs to step up. That didn't happen. I didn't see them running at anybody. I didn't see them let loose, per se. The offense itself was, I think you had an opportunity to create. I think there was something there, but guess what? No one is making that final pass. No one is taking that risk. No one is going that, okay, this is where the pass needs to be. Maybe they don't have the vision or maybe they don't have the guts to do it. They didn't want to give the ball up. So I'm just going to go ahead and make the extra pass. Let someone else do it because it's not going to be me who kills this particular attack. That's kind of what I got from it. That I was like, dude, who is going to make that final pass? You would think that maybe it's Fagundes, but obviously the vision and the skill aren't, it's not Ricky Pooj, right?
You can't expect Peck or Painsill to make that final pass. That's not what they're there for. They're the ones that are probably receiving that final pass, or they're breaking down defenses to try to cross and, you know, get someone else into open space to get either a better shot or get them to make that extra pass where you know that there's going to be somebody open somewhere at that point. But nobody was going to make that final pass. No one really did. And that's a little unfortunate. The second thing I'll say about the offense is, and this is where you might think of taking Barry out of here, out of the start, to keep him out of the starting lineup. You don't have another striker, right? So you would have to go into Ventura. You have to go into Ventura to grab it. I thought the fact that you're missing Puig, you're missing Jovalić, you're missing Delgado. Vanny would say, okay, let's forego the possession game and let's just counter. Let Seattle have the ball. Seattle cannot score. They have trouble scoring. Let's put 11 men behind the ball. We have been good on defense in the run of play. Let them have the ball. We have players that can run at you and run the counter. Personally, I could be wrong on this. Fagundes would be, if Fagundes is taking Puig's place, I think he would have been more effective distributing on the counter than in the possession game. And it kind of held true because, again, no line breaking passes, very, very little line breaking passes. But it's easier to do when let's just go ahead and run at you and it's 4-on-3 or 4-on-4 and, you know, let's just run drills here, where I think Fagundes would have been more effective in that way. He didn't go that route. You could have also made the case that, look, if you're playing with 10 men, Miguel Berry isn't going to do anything. If we're playing the possession game, Miguel Berry is going to lose the ball. If you're asking him to hold up and he's not, you know, he's going to give, you know, if this is where the attack goes to die and he's not fast enough to keep up with the other guys to go on the counter, then give people a shot.
Yeah.
Give people a shot. Let him go in there and run. You know he's faster than Barry.
Are they out of international spots, though? Are they not able to bring Bebo in because of international spots?
So switch Barry down to G2 or
Ventura. I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you can do that? Okay.
No, you can't do that.
Okay, so that's what I would have done. At the very least, you run the counter the entire game. Run the counter. That's going to be your best chance of scoring. And he didn't do it. And I think your best chances, if there were any, were on the counter. But, you know, we have seen this in the 4 years with Vanny, is that he has a stubbornness. He's not going to switch it up, right? I think that was called for in this game. I can't even fault him for the subs. He didn't make a sub until, like, it didn't really matter anymore. But I can't fault him there because your subs are already in the game.
Man, I got really nervous when he made those subs, though.
Yeah, because
brings in Zavaleta. He brings in who was it? I think Aguirre came in for Barry. That was actually an upgrade.
Jonathan Perez came in. Nelson Aude.
And I thought Aude was having a great game. I thought he was probably the best player on the night.
100%.
100%. Yeah. He was the best player on the night.
He stood out.
I feel like Aude.
He stood out to me. I thought, so,
yeah,
by far.
I 100% felt the late Seattle winner coming.
I kind of said the same thing with Zavaleta, but I also know that I'm like, this a couple scary moments for Seattle wasn't anything that I was like, oh my God, because I never really felt that threatened. As I said,
there was a giveaway that McCarthy had to
Diaz. I think that was another one that was like, you know,
that was a Morris one where he completely shot it off target.
Yeah. I think during like late in the game, I forgot who it was. I want to say it was Rusnak who took a shot and Neil like barely gets a touch on it.
Yep.
At first, he thought it was just wide, but then it turns out that Neil actually gets a touch on the ball and it goes
into
a corner.
By the way, Jalen Neal, I thought he had a good game as well. I thought that he did not look rusty. at all. I think there was one nervy moment that I went, oh, that's not good. But other than that, I thought he was great.
Yeah. I think for me, that's the best thing, that he's back on the field. He didn't look out of place. Didn't look like he skipped a beat. It's his first start in almost a year. I think he's maybe like 2 months away from a beer. It's good to see him back. He went the full 90. I think you would probably see him in the starting lineup. I don't think you want. I mean, Cáceres and Yoshida have not been bad, but I think Neil, at the beginning of the season, had he not been injured, he would have been the starter, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably got his position back. We'll see. I have to imagine that they probably would, especially against a dynamic team against like RSL. I think you would probably want Neil in there. But we'll have to wait to see there. Okay, so we're talking about individual players. Let's go ahead and who was the highest rated player in this game?
I think I said Julian Alde. I think is probably the standout. I think stats wise, he probably wasn't the highest rated player.
Yeah, visually, he looked like it, but yeah.
Yeah, the highest rated player might be Brugman, but
that's a good one. That's a good call.
Yeah, I'll go with Brugman. Yeah, but I felt like Alde was probably the deserving one.
Okay, so I'm right there with you guys. Player of the game by far is Alde. I thought he stood out. I thought he had a really good game. Obviously, a clean sheet officially will go down. I thought he was his best game personally so far in a Galaxy uniform. But there's no goals. There's no assists, right? He only has the clean sheet. And I said the same thing. Like, he's not going to be the highest rated player. Probably is the player of the game, but who else could it be? I thought Peck had a good first half. And so I said, okay, maybe it's Peck, because I think he was trying at least in the first half to get something going. It is, in fact, Julian Alde, guys. He is the highest rated player.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Very good.
He had a great game.
Wow. Yep, 7.6, which is still somewhat low, but in a dull game, I guess, sure, take it. 7.6 for Julian Alde, yeah, so good for him. Second highest rated player.
Oh, stick with Brugman.
Brugman.
John McCarthy. He got a clean sheet. He had four saves. Obviously, no goals against. That's gonna be in there as well.
Padding his stats then a little bit with that giveaway.
Right. It's like missing your layup so you can get more rebounds. Third highest rated player. We'll go ahead and go that far. Third highest rated player. You guys sticking with Brugman here?
I'm waiting for Bobby to pick Paintsill.
Well, Paintsill tried a lot, but he couldn't. He really wasn't able to execute much. Same with Peck.
I think it's Cerrillo.
I mean, it's a big gap that he needs to fill.
Yeah.
In that game, so I mean, yeah. I mean, let's see, Lewis.
It's Peck at 7.2. Peck is the third highest rated player. 7.2. John McCarthy and Julian Alde, by the way, both had 7.6. Lowest rated player.
It's Miguel Berry.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Let me think. Yeah, okay, I'll give it to Berry. Our backline wasn't bad. Yeah.
I thought this was a no-brainer. Even if it wasn't going to be shown as a lowest rated player, he's the lowest rated player. And it still is. Actually, correct. He is the lowest rated player. Berry is. Lowest rated player at 6.3, second lowest rated player.
Man, this is tougher.
I mean, we're just naming the whole team now.
A lot tougher. We usually do top three.
We usually do.
We do top three? Okay.
Yes.
This is so much
two,
more.
Bottom like two so and top more. Three.
Top two, yeah.
We do top three and bottom two. Yeah, the second lowest rated player, I'm not sure because I felt like everybody else was fine. So I feel like this is just going to be like, yeah, I was like the least good player on the team because, like I said, I think everybody else is fine. Let's go with, I guess let's go with Cerrillo.
You guys are going to be disappointed because he was your top rated player. It's Brugman at 6.4. Only 0.1 higher than Barry. I actually would have said.
Why?
I would have said Paintsill personally only because I didn't think he had a good game. I thought he was MIA.
Like the biggest game that he didn't really
perform. That's where I would have went. He also had a yellow card.
That's right. He did have a yellow card. What was it for? Descent?
Yeah. Here's another guy that's like, dude, you've gotten a couple cards because of that. Exactly. You guys need to shut up here. I get it. The refs are not good. I get it. They're going to make mistakes. But you're going to have to know when. You know, I think there was other – was it the last home game against San Jose? I don't think he ended up getting the yellow here. But you can tell that he was, like, going at the refs. And it's like, dude, again, you guys are going to have – him and Pooj, you're going to have to learn how to shut up here. You're going to put your team in danger – or not in danger. You're putting him at a disadvantage. We saw how the offense just wasn't, you know, offensing – in this game, and you can blame Pooj. Like, did you get any like dirty tackles? No, dude, this is all because you can't keep your fucking mouth shut. And Paintsill's on his way there too, so at some point he's gonna be, you know, suspended for a yellow card accumulation. It's like, okay, maybe it's not as big as Pooj. I think, you know, you could probably put someone else in there, and, you know, again, you suffer a little bit, but I think you need more Pooj in there than you need Paintsill, but, you know, don't go out for dumb reasons. 6.6 for Paintsill, by the way. So he was actually the third lowest rated player. Rounding up everybody else, Yoshida and Yamani both had 7.1. I thought Yamani had another good game as well, but it's a game that, you know, it's something that I've come to expect. Nothing too out of the ordinary there.
I thought this one he kind of stood out a little bit more. I feel like he did a lot of more aggressive tackles and challenges, and was coming up a little bit more than usual.
He was hitting him on them a lot more. Like when he gets like that, when he goes a little more aggressive than like the Steady Eddie kind of performance, he tends to like get exposed a little bit. And then has to do a side tackle, but he was hitting. Hitting those.
But again, it's a performance I expect from Yamani. It's not that it's a ho hum performance. It's a good performance.
A lot more showy than he usually does. So
Yoshida also at 7.1. Neil was the lowest rated defender at 6.9. Surio at 6.9 as well with a yellow card. So without the yellow, he probably would have been second highest rated player. Fagundes at 7.1. Those are your ratings right there. Fagundes?
Oh no, he wasn't.
No. He was
there. I was thinking about the game before. Boston game.
No, he was in there for 82 minutes. He was in there for the long run. Some stats very, very quickly, just because we always do it. 55-45% possession, favor Seattle, not the Galaxy. 19 shots for Seattle compared to 12 shots for the Galaxy. 4 shots were on target for Seattle, and 3 were on target for the Galaxy. One big chance for Seattle, they missed it. I'm not sure if that's Rusnak's or Morris's. It might have been Morris's, to be honest. So you can see how there was really no offense on either side. By the way, the Galaxy had 0 big chances. And on the plus side, missed none. Shutout, clean sheet for the Galaxy. Their second of the season. Both come against Seattle. The Seattle had 12 corners. 12.
Yeah.
Galaxy didn't allow a goal. Should improvement.
6 goals.
Usually at the very least, one of those is going to go in statistically for the Galaxy. They were batting 100. They defended every single one of them well. So obviously, got to give kudos to the defense there. Now, I don't think they played absolutely stellar.
Jalen Neal's back, right?
But I think you give credit to the defense here. Expected goals, 1.5 for Seattle compared to 0.43 for the Galaxy. So, again, nothing doing for the Galaxy here. A lot of the expected goals from Seattle kind of came from a little bit more toward the end of the game, to be honest. I felt that maybe there was like that push. There were a couple other moments here and there, but I never really felt in danger, to be honest. And after the game, as we had stated, the very first thing that we said in this podcast, okay, I'm not celebrating it. I'm not angry about it. It's not a draw that you're saying, oh, okay, you escaped with a point. You survived. That wasn't the case. It wasn't a hard-fought draw. It wasn't that you were going up against a tough team and you were going toe-to-toe and that you earned that draw on the road. It was a draw. That's all it was. It was a draw. You're missing four starters on the road in a place that you have not won since 2016. You're playing on turf. No new injuries happened. I'll take the point. Thank you very much.
You got Miguel Berry leading the line.
Right, right. So you're playing with 10 men along with four starters out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the point. You take the point. Not celebrating it, but take the point. I'm okay with the point. So another thing I'll throw out, I think I said it on Balls and Beers. Galaxy are shut out for the second time this season. By the way, it's back-to-back games. The Galaxy have not scored. So there's at the very least, it's a 180 minutes. And then whenever they score their last goal in that third game, at the minutes there, I don't know what it is. But back-to-back games where they have not scored. I won't fault them for this one because I said they're missing four starters. Three of them were key pieces in the offense. But fun little tidbit here: in the two games that they have not scored, the Overleach has not played.
Yep.
Hmm. Interesting. So you face first place RSL on Saturday. You're at home. This is a tough game. This is a tough game. I fully respect RSL right now. They're in first place in the Western Conference. I believe, for me personally, Miami and Columbus, if we're talking power rankings, I think I'm going to do this a lot this year. I don't think we ever really talked about power rankings. But if we're talking power rankings, I have Miami, Columbus 1 and 2. Switch them out however you see fit. And number three for me is RSL. I think that they are a good team. They can play defense. They're dynamic. They can score. They have Chicho Arango right now, who is they're hot. They're hot right now. So I think that personally, I think if they win this game, it's probably your signature. It's your signature victory. If you're able to beat RSL, regardless if it's at home or not, I think you're able to do it. I think you can say you're not entirely pretenders for if you're the Galaxy. I don't think they're pretenders. I don't think they're quite contenders yet, but I think you make another strong case if you were to beat RSL. Yeah. I understand that it's how you do it. If they win 1-0 via penalty and RSL is just running over you and you're kind of lucky not to get scored on, then obviously we'll talk about that. Like, sure, the results is what matter, but maybe you didn't deserve the win. But overall, I don't really expect that to happen. I think you're going to see a good game. I think this is probably your game of the week. If not being biased, you have two very dynamic teams. They're two teams that are fun to watch at the moment. I think this is one that if at 7:30, so you I don't think there's any other game at 7:30 that's going to that you should be watching if you're a neutral aside from this one. We will be in attendance. For Saturday, it should be a good one. It should be a good atmosphere. I'm assuming it's another sellout crowd.
It's Star Wars
it's
night.
Jalen Neal. Yep. So I'm expecting a really large crowd. I'm expecting good vibes. I'm hoping that the DJ is good. I'm hoping that it's they can get the crowd pumped up. And not sure if Jovalich will play. I'm really hoping that he's in there. If not, let's hope that Barry's on the bench, and if Delgado's back, we hope that Delgado's back as well. We know Pooj is going to be back. Caceres should be back, but I think it's Neil's starting spot from here on out.
And probably getting Garces worked in because he was available game.
No, he was on the bench.
That's why I said he was available.
Oh, okay. They say he wasn't available.
And when who was it that went down? I think it was Yoshida that went down for a moment. And I was like, oh, crap. Garces is going to have to play here. And thankfully, Yoshida recovered. Although I would like to see what Garces brings to the table. But this is a tough game to throw him into, into the fire there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think we're all...
Speed, with his speed and his size, this might actually be a good matchup for Arango.
So it's actually interesting that you say that because I kind of feel like here's a guy that has been playing minutes, one of the top defenders in the Colombian League. Obviously, you don't think see the Colombian League and see as one of the top leagues in the world. But 22-year-old, already is playing minutes. So he's been, like Peck, he has been playing professionally and getting some good, solid minutes and being at the top of your, whatever stats that you're going by. But Vanny did say we're not going to set this guy up for failure. He's going to be integrated very, very slowly. I think he is obviously the future. I don't think Yoshida will be coming back. I don't think Garces is coming back. I think these are your two starters next season. And obviously, with Yoshida and Garces presumably gone, you would have to replace them. And I would imagine that you would replace them as with a veteran presence.
Yeah, more veteran leadership.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, for me, I bring Yoshida back and
I would love that.
Garces and Neil in.
Yes.
Slowly let him usher in, more. But, that's end of year talk.
Right. Yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But yeah, tough game, but good game coming up on Saturday. We hope that the Galaxy could get a victory, obviously. Another reason why I take the point with the starters missing, with the location that you were playing in, if you were to lose that game, you went from, hey, we can win three in a row to possibly, hey, you could be losing three in a row all of a sudden, right? So
we'll do that.
I sure hope not. So they did break their gloozy streak. They got the point. I think it's a good point. Take it. You got a tough game against RSL. And honestly, win that game because after RSL, you got to quickly bounce to guess who? It's not the first place. It's the second place. You're going up Minnesota on short rest. That's a tough game in itself, let alone with short rest. And 3 days later,
you go further east. We don't have a great record in Minnesota, do we?
We do, actually. I think.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, I think we do. In Minnesota? I think so. Huh. Yeah. I think like the first three, even the first three times that we played when we did make the playoffs, I think it was only two times. But we beat them on the road.
Did we?
Yeah, we didn't host. I remember that. Yeah, we didn't host. It was on the road. The only other playoff game that was at home was against Nashville. I think we beat them 1-0.
Oh, I was thinking about Nashville. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, but I think we beat Minnesota twice on the road. So I think we play well in Minnesota, but again, short rest. Minnesota's playing good right now. And 3 days later, you got to go to Charlotte, who guess what is at home again. This is a very tough stretch. I talked about this first challenge, the first 10 games out of the way. Your new challenge is you play 6 games in May. A lot of games on the road, midweek games where you're a lot of traveling, you're going to start rotating and Jovic is already out. I mean, this is a tough stretch for the Galaxy. Not that they're not capable of doing it, but this is a tough stretch for any team, regardless of who you are. It could be Columbus. It's a tough stretch. So probably best that you get 3 points on the at home against RSL. I think a draw, I guess the way it plays out, isn't entirely bad, but you want maximum points at home. Galaxy have not lost at home, and so we kind of want to keep that going as well, but we would rather see the 3 points. Anything else?
Quick shout out to La Cura Galaxiana, who celebrated their 100th episode. So shout out to Ananda and El Escudero de LA. Rob Halone, congratulations on 100 episodes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. This is episode 331. It's David and Louis saying goodbye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Later, guys. Bye.